presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's my pleasure to be spending the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. You are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We are so thankful that you tune in on a daily basis, and thank you for those that we get to encounter throughout the week. We will be having our Wednesday night service back. We'll be back to normal tomorrow night. Kids' meal starts at 6. Kids' classes start at 6:30. Adult Bible study begins at 7. And everything dismisses at 7:45. That's the way that that is going. And I will be teaching on Wednesday night. We want to start off today by saying thank you to Terizzi Auto Sales and Repair, 636-4910, 636-4910. They are on the west side of Clear Lake, just a couple of blocks south of Dixon. Right there, there's a Korean church that is just to the south of them. And so if you are looking for an automobile, maybe you got a tax refund and you're needing to upgrade your vehicle, you can give them a call. Maybe you got a tax refund and it's going to enable you to get your car repaired. You can give them a call, 636-4910, and they can take good care of you. Do tell them that you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. Joe and his son Michael over there, they do a great job, and I pray that they will be a blessing to you. This coming weekend, we will be having our men's breakfast, 8 o'clock Saturday morning. We'll be having breakfast and doing some work around the church. We're going to be throwing some stuff away. Yes. I don't know if you have hit that stage in your life where you're ready to declutter yet or not, but I pretty much have. And so I'm looking forward to decluttering and getting rid of some things that we no longer need. So that's what is coming up on that. And then I will be preaching on Sunday morning as well. And I'll be working on concluding a series that I've been sharing on Sunday morning has to do with our walk with God. Has to do with our walk with God. Let me just put it to you this way. I started this series a couple of weeks ago. The scripture says to walk in the spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when you look up the meaning of that word, you will find that that word means to march, as in military formation. And I know most of us do not come from a military mindset, and for many of us, whenever we see that word walk, we kind of think of a casual stroll or walking for exercise or something like that. But I believe that God wants to develop in us a much different mindset where we are marching under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We are marching where God has placed us. We are marching toward the battle toward the battle line that has been established, and we are going to be victorious because God has made us more than conquerors. So if you think that that would be a message that would be a blessing to you, I encourage you to come out. We are going to be discussing that Sunday morning at 10:30. So those are some of the things that we have coming up. Now, out of all of the people in the scriptures that have ever had the Spirit of the Lord God come upon them, one of the most interesting is in 1 Samuel. By the way, before I take you there, we are in Isaiah chapter 61. We have finished our declaration series, and we are now back into studying through the book of Isaiah. I'm not going to read as much as I did yesterday. Verse number 1 says this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And so, you know, if I can just say this, the Spirit of the Lord God comes upon us, and if we can take all of that down to that last phrase, that he may be glorified. The Spirit of the Lord God is always pointing people to Jesus. Anything the Spirit of God does for you and for me, it is so that God will be glorified. It is not a merit badge for us. And anytime the Spirit of God uses us, we say, praise God, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. May God be glorified. That is the goal. This world does things so that other people will take notice of it and they will receive the glory. But the glory belongs to God. And so I don't want to do anything that would separate that from that. So there's an interesting person that is, it's declared that the Spirit of God came upon him, and his name is Saul. He was the first national king of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number, let me give you a little bit of background here. Saul had lost his donkeys, and so they hunt. By the way, if you want to do an interesting study, do a study on Saul's background before he became king versus David's background when he became king. Saul lost donkeys and David tended sheep. David was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. David was using it as an opportunity to have worship time with God. And Saul didn't want the job. And then he didn't want to let it go. And when Samuel anointed him king, he had a God encounter. So let me take you to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number, let's just begin in verse number 1. "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you. What shall I do about my son?' he said. 'Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine, and they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. And after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying." Do you think that God knows the details of our life? I mean, he is laying out for Saul a step-by-step roadmap of things that are getting ready to take place. He even identifies the instruments that they are going to be playing. Verse number 6, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come and show you what you should do. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" So let me just say this. Saul had an encounter with the Spirit of God when he was anointed king. The Spirit of God came upon him when he was anointed king. And I do believe that a wise ruler, whether it's a mayor, a boss, a governor, a president, or a king, I believe that a wise ruler realizes how desperately they need God. How desperately they need God. And so Saul was anointed as king, and it said that when he encountered these people who were prophesying, that he also prophesied among them. There, when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Now, let me tell you this. If you want the Spirit of God operating in your life, you need to be hanging out with people who the Spirit of God is operating in their life. Company affects character. Specifically in the New Testament, it says bad company corrupts good character. Who you hang out with, they're either going to make you better or they are going to drag you down. They are either going to compel you to draw closer to God, or they are going to try and drive a wedge between you and God. Who are you going to hang out? Now, the problem with Saul was he only had an encounter with them, and he began to prophesy. And here's what happened, that when the Spirit of the Lord God came upon Saul, he became a changed man. His heart was changed. The Spirit of God coming upon us should result not just in spiritual activity, but it should result in spiritual transformation. That's really good. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, we should be the first person that is changed. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, our heart should be changed. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, our mind should be changed. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, our abilities should be changed. When the Spirit of God comes upon us. Now, the Spirit of God is getting ready to come upon Saul in another place, and he is going to be moved. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 11. The people of a town had come under attack, and the whole nation, in actuality, was afraid of them. He said, I'll make peace with you, but I'm going to need to poke out your right eye. And they said, give us 24 hours. Let's see if we can find a different or a better deal. And so they sent message for Saul, and it says, and then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. Now, I want you to know that it wasn't the Spirit of God come upon him and it made him angry. That is the remarkable thing. He was prompted to act. The Spirit of God coming upon you is going to set about to change the status quo. The Spirit of God, listen, if we are never going to change, we don't need any more of the Spirit of God. What have we done with what he has poured out upon us already? What are you doing with the truth of God that has already been revealed to you? What implementation has taken place of the sermon that you heard last Sunday, or the message you heard on this program yesterday? Is there a hunger, is there a thirst that is being created in us for us to be transformed. And so in chapter 10, he was changed. In chapter 11, he was prompted to move into actions. Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 19, because from chapter 11 to chapter 19, first of all, there's the Philistines, Goliath. There's the battle with Goliath. There is Saul commissioned to implement God's strategy, and he doesn't do that. There's a couple of really bad actions where Saul is so deceived that he thinks that he is walking in full obedience to what God is doing, even though there is plenty of evidence to the contrary. Did you know that the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things? Who can know it? Do you realize that we need the Spirit of God so that we do not deceive ourselves? We are the easiest people to lie to. I read an article recently here, and it was talking primarily about pastors, and it said pastors lie all of the time. Now hear me. You're gonna need to pause, because it says they're not intentionally lying to them, but they lie to themselves all the time. They will deal with truth with everybody else, but a lot of times they will lie to themselves. That happened to me. There was a time in my life. I have always been full in, all in, for the ministry that God has called us to do. And so last week, I wasn't taking the morning off, and then coming in for the kids' rally that we had. It was a great rally. I was working, because you know what? All of the people in the church were working as well. And so when we've had work projects before and people could come in of a morning, I was working there of a morning. When the second crew could come in, I worked with them as well. See, I want to be that type of pastor that is able to build relationship with people. And sometimes the best way to do that is to be actively involved with them on a regular basis. And so I've been all in. And so I don't want to, but I had a conversation with my son, and I said, you know, after I finish this project, I think I'm going to slow down. And his words to me was, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you are not going to slow down. And I said, you know, you're probably right. And so I stopped telling myself that I was going to slow down. And guess what? I haven't slowed down. I've got pastors who are speaking into my life, and they said, you're going to have to be a little more selective about the projects that you take on. And so I'm heeding that wisdom. But Saul lied to himself, did not embrace the full obedience to God, and God ended up rejecting him as king. And it says that the Spirit of God withdrew from him, and David ended up being anointed as the future king. And so Saul, in chapter 19, he is now very hostile to David. He was always jealous of David because they were ascribing to him greater military victories than they were ascribing to Saul. Jealousy will always be a bad thing. It will always destroy you more than it will destroy the other person. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 19, let me take you to verse number 18. It says, so David fled and escaped and went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and stayed in Naoth. Now it was told Saul, saying, take note, David is at Naoth in Ramah. Then Saul sent messengers to David, and when they saw the group of the prophets, listen to this, and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Then Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then he also went to Ramah and came to a great well that is at Sikku. So he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone said, indeed, they are at Naoth in Ramah. So he went there in Naoth in Ramah. Then the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they say, is Saul among the prophets? First of all, Saul's messengers encountered this grouping of prophets, and when they encountered them, they began to prophesy, and it happened over and over and over again. Can I ask just a question? And I don't care what church you're attending. I just want to ask this question. If the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, should it not be upon us with the same sort of power and magnitude that was upon Samuel at this time, where people who came in even to do harm began to operate as prophets under the Spirit of the living God, who people who began to do things that were out of their character? Should the Spirit of the living God not be so powerful in our services that sinners are brought to a God encounter right there, just because they're in the presence of those upon whom the Spirit of God rests? It's just a thought. Maybe we have some room for some improvement in that area. I'm just thinking. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 23, Saul himself begins to prophesy, and it says that he prophesied all day and all night. Now, I wanted to spend a little bit more time on Saul today for this reason. This encounter, Saul was a different person than he was on that first encounter. Saul was looking for tangible things the first time and got an anointing. He got a position, and he had a God encounter that should have changed. I mean, it said that his heart was changed. He became a different man. But as other things began to creep into his heart, as disobedience and rebellion came into his heart, rather than embracing the Spirit of God, he had a distressing spirit that came upon him. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather have the spirit of peace and the spirit of power over my life than the spirit of victimhood and the spirit of distress and being troubled and worried about everything. And yet, God blesses him with a second supernatural encounter with God that even supersedes what happened the first time. He was humbled. It was a prolonged experience. And I look at that situation, and I said the Spirit of God was coming upon him so that he prophesied by the Spirit of God to remind him of the place of where he had come, to remind him that God had still not given up on him, that there was still hope, that if he had changed his course once, God could change his course again. God can give you and I the opportunity to make a U-turn from being hostile to the people of God and allow us to make a U-turn where we embrace the purpose and the plan of God. How stubborn are we? Do you realize, I mean, think about it for just a moment. When that distressing spirit came upon Saul, who was it that they sent for? And the Spirit of God would come upon David, and as David played and worshiped, the distressing spirit from Saul would depart. And the enemy had Saul so deceived that he started trying to kill the only person that God was using to bring him spiritual relief. And then, in his pursuit of David, the Spirit of God gives him an opportunity to remember the height from which he had fallen, the relationship that he had once had. And Saul still did not recognize that he was the one who needed to make a change. He was the one who needed to remember his first love, of how he became king in the first place. How did you get to where you are today? Was it because of your great wisdom, because of your great intellect? Was it because of your resources or your mommy and your daddy? Or was it because the Spirit of God came upon you and said, you know what? I want to change you, and I want to use you. I want to take you from a place that you've been, and I want to give you a whole new platform from which I can use you to proclaim my glory. Today, let's not turn our back on the grace of God. Let's not just naturally assume because there was a second opportunity that there's going to be another opportunity. Because in all honesty, you and I are not guaranteed tomorrow. We need to take advantage of the opportunity that we have today. May the Spirit of God be moving upon our hearts today and say, God, I want to have that same relationship with you that I once did. So today, I want to encourage you that we allow God to transform us, and that we will be used to bring deliverance to those who are under attack, and that God will give us that opportunity. God, I pray today that we would not waste this day that you have been given to us, but we would make the most of this opportunity. May the Spirit of God rest upon us today in such a way that we're changed and others are changed around us. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.